It's not always about breaking records, making new records. I mean, Sasha Vezenko is already a part of the history of the EuroLeague.
What's up, everybody, and welcome along, EuroLeague fans. We're so excited to have you back. We've been missing you. We've been missing each other. And this is your favorite podcast, EuroLeague and Friends, delivered to you by nine ladies from the nine EuroLeague countries out there. And obviously, we're talking everything Turkish Airlines EuroLeague on and off the court. And today's squad is incredible, and I'm excited to get this one going. My name is Lisa Ramoschka, talking to you from Munich, Germany, and we got the three best of the best with us here today from Istanbul, Turkey, our energy bomb, Denise Aksoy. What's up, girl? Happy New Year, still.
Happy New Year, Lisa. I love this introduction. Energy bomb? Okay, I'm gonna remind myself this statement every single day, but thank you so much. I'm so happy and I'm glad to be here with you girls because I really missed this, and Happy New Year to everybody. It's going to be a great year for us.
It will be. And for EuroLeague, for sure, as well. Let's keep it moving. Over to Belgrade, Serbia, our super expert, Aleksandra Radivojević. Alex, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. How are you, girls? I missed you so much during the holidays, but now we are back. And yes, I think it's going to be a great year for all of us, too.
And it's been an incredible year for, let's say, some teams more than others. And that's possibly perfect and best introduction for our fourth co-host of the day. From Athens, Greece, the amazing, the fantasy basketball pro, Vasiliki Karamouza. Vasiliki, how did your league, not your league, also your fantasy team league maybe, but your year start for you?
Yeah, it's been amazing. As you can hear, my voice isn't at its best, but everything else is going great. So good to see y'all. Long time no see. Happy New Year to all of our fans. And I couldn't be happier because both the Greek teams are thriving. So I feel like a champion already. I don't know what will happen by the end of the year, but for now, we're all good. Everything is going great. So I'm super happy about that.
You're feeling like a champion already. I really like that. So champ. Let's stick with the Greek teams for a second, because obviously a lot has been going on, but there's one thing that we have to talk about right away, and it's the player of the moment. It's Sasha Vezenko. What a night he had against Bayern Munich, which obviously is horrible and sad for me to watch, but my God, did he play. Vasi, take it away. How did you see him?
Yeah, I don't know if there are words to describe what Sasha Vezenko did. Like, I will just pop up some numbers before I say anything else. Like, 45 points, new career high. 10 out of 10, two-pointers, new career high. 8 out of 10, three-pointers, new career high. 52 in PIR, new career high. Sixth best performance ever. The 45 points is the third best score we have seen after the 50 points from Nigel Hayes-Davies and 49 points from Shane Larkin. I believe Denise will talk a bit more about that later on, so I don't want to spoil the fan there. I will stay with Sasha for a moment. Like, he only used three dribbles to score 45 points, and I know a lot of people realized that and were amazed by that fact. But if you had seen Sasha play before, you know this is something that usually happens. In the previous game, he scored 24 points against Žalgiris and Kaunas with zero dribbles. He didn't dribble at all. It was all catch and shoots or off the offensive rebound or with free throws, which he only had one free throw against Bayern, which is also unbelievable how someone can score 45 points with just one free throw in his last shot of the game. Unbelievable, amazing. Like, he was like, it's one of those nights that everything goes in. Like, he missed his first and his last shot, if I'm not mistaken, and all the others just fell in, which is unbelievable.
What is unbelievable is 10 two-pointers, 8 three-pointers
in a row.
Can you in a row and then 45 points? Like, it's just incredible. And three dribbles. Like, everybody, I think, in these days, they Google Sasha Vezenko three dribbles. Because it's out there, you know? It's crazy. Yeah. But it's incredible. I don't know what kind of words that we should use, Lisa. What do you think? What is the right word about that performance?
Probably, I'm trying to make up, like, a word with an S now. Stellar Sasha or Super Sasha or... I don't know, but that still sounds not crazy enough.
Yeah, can I ask to our audience, write down on the comments, what is the right word to use for his performance? Exactly, against Bayern Munich. And Lisa, I'm so sorry from the bottom of my heart that always it happens to German teams.
Right?
Like, Shane Larkin against Bayern Munich, Nigel Hayes against Davis. Alba Berlin, and Sasha Vezenko against... Bayern Munich again. Like, why? Why?
Yeah, the German teams really have to sit down and, like, try to make something out of that. Or we just, you know, have to acknowledge one more time that Germany, unfortunately, is not the basketball country I would like it to be yet. Still,
football. No, please, Lisa, you said that to a Serbian girl. You remember the final of the World Cup?
Well, girl, yes, of course. Excuse me, please. Don't take that personally. But you know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of fans, in terms of what basketball means to just sports fans in general here, I just wish we would support the teams more and, like, give them more potential to live up to, really. But it's fine. Alex,
how did you see Sasha, though?
That night.
Oh, yeah. Speaking about that one word that can describe Sasha's games, I would say, I know that many of us are thinking, like, the greatest of all time or some, like, big, huge word, you know? But in my case, it's always been simplicity. Like, I really enjoy watching him playing simple, clear basketball. And I think that part of the stats that says that he made only one three-point shot, that was a kind of a good response to what Coach Andreati Tinchieri actually mentioned during the press conference, if I'm not mistaken. And
the first game.
Yeah. And very good response to the referees also and Coach Tinchieri speaking about how referees actually called that falls on Sasha Vezenko very easy during the games. So, yeah, I think he proved everyone that he can do everything on a very, very simple way.
Definitely. So, simplicity, Sasha. Vasiliki, do you want to add something?
I'm all up with Alex because it's the way that Olympiacos plays basketball that really helps Sasha Vezenko showcase his amazing talent, his skill to shoot the ball and make something good happen out of it. He's striving for a reason. Like, it's his talent, but it's also team effort and how they're playing. And also Coach Trinchieri had said, like, the game when Žalgiris faced Olympiacos at Pisa Friendship Stadium after the game in the press conference, Coach Trinchieri said, for those who haven't seen it already, that the game starts and Sasha Vezenko shoots 10 free throws. Which is not the case because he's not the player that gets the most fouls or the most free throws. In the EuroLeague, there are many players that are above him. But sometimes there's no other way to stop him. That's why teams foul him. Because if he gets the ball and shoot it, you're doomed. The ball is probably getting in. So if you want to stop him, foul him. That's what happens in my eyes.
Interesting in the way that you're pointing out the team effort too. Something that I liked about this game, obviously, and not much to like from a German perspective. But I think Oli had, 36 assists, and you can calculate assists with like a 2.3 point, average execution. So that's almost 75 or 80 points only done through assists, which is crazy. But I have another question for you girls, because it was a great night. Let's not discuss or like talk more about that, but it was not what I think he could have done. I think that he could have crushed Nigel Hayes Davis's 50-point record for sure. But he was benched. What do you girls think about that? Should he have stayed on?
Well, I think he shouldn't be benched. He should have played. This is my personal opinion about this, because as a Turkish girl who witnessed from two different Turkish teams those records, 49 points by Shane Larkin and 50 points by Nigel Ace Davis, I wanted to see him, Vezenko, playing and being on the court, because why not? It's a competition. EuroLeague is full of excitements and full of competitions that is happening in every single game. That's why the motto is every game matters. And what mattered most about that, those two last minutes of that game, was
right.
if he could have. So it was the thing. So, but he was so happy in the bench. I was also amazed by that. You know, I was like, oh my, because when that happened to Nigel asked to İlker Üçer, who's the media press officer of Fenerbahçe Beko, he asked, like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, what's the record? And then he says, like, you should play. So all the players of Fenerbahçe bench, they were like, coach, take him in, get him in. So that's how he broke that 50 points, that record. So, I mean, that's my personal opinion. What do you think, Vasiliki?
Yeah, I hate to be in the opposite side of Coach Barjokas, because she's a mastermind, but I think I agree with Denise. No, I got you there. You thought I was going to say the opposite. But yeah, I think, like, when you get this opportunity and you're this close to breaking an all-time record, which, like, you don't know if you're ever going to get this chance again of scoring 45 right. or 50 right. points. Like, maybe this is right. a lifetime opportunity. So I believe he should have played through the end, even though it was a blowout, and even though some people might say, like, it wasn't fair, or I don't know, whatever, or, like, there's a danger of him being injured, and there's a double week coming and a Greek derby for the domestic league. I know all that, but I believe any player deserves the chance to break a record if it's given to them. Like, so it was up to his hands if he could have made it. So I really hope that he would have played through the end.
Alex, your take.
And Alex, yeah. I want to hear her opinion.
Oh my God, I don't know where to start. I don't know, for me, the EuroLeague competition is all about the team. So that part of Coach Barjokas' decision to bench Sasha Vezenko, that his face was very happy and he looked happy and he was all about the win, you know, and everything. I think that speaks a lot about Olympiakos team, you know, about the connection between players, about Coach Barjokas doing great, great job, as always, of course. But, you know, making the team above everything and everyone, that's what EuroLeague is about for me, to be honest. We already have one best league in the world that have individual things above the team, but we don't need another one, but, right?
but Alex, can I jump in the conversation about this?
Yeah, so of course.
What I also wanted to see, you know, those two players, Nigel Ace Davis and Shane Larkin, they're Americans. So in a league, in the best league of Europe, the best basketball league of Europe is EuroLeague. So why can't we see a Bulgarian player score 56 points?
Well, about
and
that,
and that's another story.
Yeah,
like,
but
know,
I
that
think...
would be so incredible.
I think he is a guy that we're going to get that chance again soon, and very soon. Maybe this season, who knows? But, you know, I think that in a game with...
Vasiliki?
I don't know. If we keep seeing lies like that, I'm going to leave my work. You know how much work does it have a game like that when you work in a media desk in Greece?
Yeah,
I can even tell you how many stories I wrote that night. How many pieces
yeah.
I had to write.
Right, I know. But, you know, I mean... what I wanted to say, maybe a game with plus 20 or plus 30 points leading and winning the game is not the best game and not the best moment to break the record. Maybe that's something that we also need to think about. Or, you know, it's not always about breaking records, making new records. I mean, Sasha Vezenko is already a part of the history of the EuroLeague for me, to be honest. So it doesn't even matter if he's going to be the leader or no, he's already the leader of the team. So that's going to be the most important. And I already worked for him in that all 25 EuroLeague legends and players. So, yeah.
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't.
I'm not going to say who I voted for.
Oh, man. But I just really wanted, you know, this whole story to be complete that night. And, you know, that's a lot coming from me watching that game, too. But, you know, watching, who was it? I think Thomas Walkup. He looked like a proud dad or like a proud brother.
Yeah.
Cheering on Sasha and, you know, downing all these points there. And I just feel like Bartsokas kind of robbed us of this really cool historic moment. Ah. But anyways, what do you girls think about switching the medal for just a second and look at Bayern just really briefly? Because
What do you think?
Yeah, that's the most important.
I kind of feel like we have to go through it for just a moment, right? Because everyone, I feel, you guys tell me if I'm wrong here, but everyone really was excited for Bayern's furious start into EuroLeague, right? It was, again, stories.
Definitely.
It was really cool to see them unbeaten at home, really smashing it. And I'm kind of sad to look back on the past three EuroLeague games plus. I'm not sure if you guys had that on the radar. They lost against Alba in the domestic league.
In the domestic league, yeah. Right before Alba played against Fenerbahce in Turkey that weekend, right?
Yes, and right after Bayern came home after, like, home to Germany after losing against Real Madrid. So just a brief overview, and I think I kind of said that last time I was on this podcast. Like, this furious start kind of had me be delusional about what Bayern can do this week. But those teams, Real Madrid, obviously, Pana and Olympiakos, all those are incredible teams that we usually lose to or have lost to in the past years, right? Bayern is still a middle-class team, also in terms of budget, in terms of depth in the squad. So it's okay to lose, but obviously it's crazy to see that these games are now all behind each other, all in a row. And one thing really is striking, and I'm interested about your guys' opinion here. I feel that Nick Weiler-Bepp plays a crucial role. He's right now out with a thumb injury. And I mean, we always look at him at like this, you know, defensive engine who really, kits the team together. But Bayern has been doing so well because Carson Edwards has been shooting the threes like a machine. And he has been assisted, and like, he's gotten all these great opportunities created and sponsored by Nick Weiler-Bepp. All Carson Edwards could do is focus on the threes. And now with Nick being out, he has to, you know, change up this whole situation and has to take on other responsibilities. And it's really interesting to see how Bayern has been, you know, kind of struggling to compensate Nick, I feel.
I totally agree, Lisa. Yeah. Maybe Carson's best side is not a creativity. It's more like shooting. And, you know, we know how much he can develop on the court. But yes, with missing players who has that side, that creativity side, you're missing a lot. So I think Gordon Herbert is on a very, very big exam.
I think this season also we should underline one big name of Bayern Munich, who is Devin Booker. I think also he's helping the team to, you know, I mean, he's lifting the team up in some ways. And he's I think, showing another level of performance as, you know, if we compare to the other years. But I don't know, this league of, like, we have 10 weeks ahead. So
yes,
it's going to be a lot of surprises. But I don't think that Bayern will do wrong in the future, in the near future.
Oh, yeah, that's actually something I wanted to ask you guys, because I, you know, hope. And Gordy has said that he's missing attitude within his players at this moment and like the passion. And if they, which they have to, refine this passion attitude right now, I feel like they can turn it around. And I'm claiming, this is my hot take, that Bayern can make the play-ins this year. What do you girls think?
I agree with you.
Yeah. I think for the play-ins, there's a spot for Bayern there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
they...
Totally.
They have proven what they can do. But as you said, Lisa, when there's a key piece missing from a mid-level team, things can go wrong really quickly. Because there are not many options. There's not much depth in the bench with players that have the experience that Nick Weiler-Bepp has. He has played for the German team, the national team, I mean. He knows how to get things around. He was never the first player in his team, but he is super crucial for Bayern. But I think there are still plenty of opportunities for Bayern to be in the play-ins and hope for the berth.
Hmm. And I mean, you know, we have Shabazz Napier. We, I'm not part of the team. They have Shabazz Napier, who's been doing great.
But you're German.
But then, well, fair. Okay.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, they even pulled Ivan Wolf, that's the English pronunciation, who has been with the second team. I don't think that he's ever practiced with the first team, too. So it really shows the emergency situation that Bayern is in at the moment. But let's see, I like that you guys are still with me on the hope end, hoping for, you know, better days to come.
Yeah, totally. I am.
We should have focused on the pieces because I witnessed recently, I mean, this year from Fenerbahce Beko, we shouldn't focus on the injured players or the missing pieces because Fenerbahce is missing three important players.
Yes.
Žagars, Scotty Wilbekin, and Wade Baldwin. And still, they stepped up without, I mean, the new transfer we're going to talk, I mean, I think, in this episode, before talking to Eric
Let's
McCollum,
do it right now.
They had, okay, we can do it. They had Devin Hall, they had Marco Guduric, and the Skylar Mace. Those three guys stepped up recently, those two last games. And you can see that we cannot complain about the missing players. Okay, they're injured, and we want them to be back immediately and as healthiest version as themselves, which is possible that it can be. But when you see a group of players that stick together as just Alex, I think Alex said that 36 assists from Olympiakos against Bayern Munich, that shows a lot of character. Assists. We're in EuroLeague. We should share the ball. It's the mentality of Spanoulis, maybe, but we should. I mean, all the players. I'm not a player. I cannot call myself as we. But the players should be more connected to the to each other on the court. So what Fenerbahce is doing well is okay. They're on the fourth quarter last game, Alba Berlin. They start shooting the three pointers and doing less assists. But when we see more assists. Percentage from the teams of EuroLeague, you see also victory is coming up. So what is important is connection on the court. And Fenerbahce Beko, now I can talk because Lisa said, okay, now.
Go ahead, yes.
What Fenerbahce is doing the best recently is also a defense. They get their energy from their own defense. And against Anadolu Efes, against Alba Berlin, their defense, the intensity of defense was on the highest level. So I think if Fenerbahce is going to keep doing like that with Eric McCollum getting more minutes and more freedom from Sarunas Yasikevicius. Yasikevicius, he is going to play effectively. But I think what Eric McCollum needs is minutes and freedom. And Eric McCollum played, it was years ago, Anadolu Efes as his EuroLeague experience. He wasn't that good. But when we saw Eric McCollum played in Galatasaray for a EuroCup, he was good. And when we've seen Eric McCollum playing for Karşıyaka, he was great. So now we should see Eric McCollum, with his experience of EuroLeague, EuroCup, and Karşıyaka years, he should collect everything and get freedom from his coach and the minutes and communicate better with the teammates. I think Fenerbahce is going to do great.
Can I ask something, Denise?
Of course it can.
Yeah, this question is for Denise.
Sure.
I always thought that what Fenerbahce missed is another big guy. Because
of course
Boban Marjanovic didn't provide and he's out of a team. So now it's only Sertaç Şanlı and Cam Birds and also Nicolò Melli playing in the five and small ball situations. So it was strange to me when they added McCollum, which was the right opportunity because of the problems that Karşıyaka had and he was available and he has so much experience and he can provide for the team. But I'm wondering, is there a possibility that we will see another signing, a big guy coming for Fenerbahce? Because there are names popping up here and there on the outlets, but is something going on there?
Vasilikid, there are two parts of your question. So I like the first part.
Yeah.
They play two big guys, Cam Birch and Sertaç Şanlı. And the system of Yasikevicius, go back 2 weeks ago against Anadolu Efes. He played five guards, like, you know, short rotation. So it's a small rotation. So it means that he likes to play with guards and he likes to play with number one, number two, number three, and number four. So he of course he needs the five, but he gets the efficiency from Sertaç Şanlı. As we've seen, he was the MVP yes. of the game against Alba Berlin, so he gives the freedom to Sertaç, but he gets the effective size of the game from his guards, and he has three, Marco Guduric, Devin Hall, and Skylar Mays right now. And you see Guduric played very well. Skylar Mays is stepping up. Devin Hall, great. I like Devin Hall. Now I'm a big fan of Devin Hall, for example. Nigel Ace Davis, Deshaun Pierre. So Tarik Biberovic, you know, his system, I've been always saying in our podcast that stick to Jasikevic's system. His system is his system. It's specific. There are some specific roles about that. So what Fenerbahce needs, of course, a big guy, but we don't know when it's going to come. But now they get, as I said, their tempo, their rhythm, their energy from their mm-hmm. defensive side since they're being productive on shooting. I think they will sign. What I didn't hear anything, but what I think is they're going to sign a big guy. Yeah. What I think. All right, then. Again, I think.
Yeah. Let's wait and see, because these lineups may work in one game, but when there's a playoffs and there's a series of games, and you have like two or three big guys rotating on the other side, it's going to be harder. That's mm-hmm. what
yeah.
You know why Anadolu Efes lost?
That's a question mark in my head for Fenerbahce this year.
You know why Anadolu Efes lost against Fenerbahce Beko? Because they started to, Tomislav Mijatović wanted to do the same thing that, as a reaction that Sarunas Jasikevičius yeah. was doing. Playing like, you know, without a big
small
guy.
Ball.
So small yeah. ball, exactly. So that's why Anadolu Efes lost, because every single team has their own system. But what Fenerbahce should be careful about also is the turnovers. Since they limit mm-hmm. their turnovers, they're getting better, and they're going to get better. We're going to get better. Fenerbahce FS, I call them we.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's stick with the Turkish teams, though, and let's move over and have a look at Efes. We're just, you know, looking at specific players, so maybe we can have a look at PJ Dozier, the new signing here, a former Minnesota Timberwolf. Alex, you still know him for sure. He played for Partizan. Maybe you can give us a little bit of an overview, what kind of a player he is, what it is that he brings to the team.
Yeah, I think he can be one of the most complete players inside one roster. Otherwise, I can't really understand the decision of Efes to bring another coach, to change such things during the season. Maybe we don't have some of the informations that are the key for that decision of the club. But on the other hand, speaking about a particular player, about PJ Dozier, I think he can bring a lot, really. He has everything. He has creativity enough to, you know, to have an impact to other players inside the roster. And I think he will probably have some time to adapt more, to, you know, find his own rhythm and performance. And I'm so lucky to have him back in the EuroLeague, to be honest. But maybe Denise has something more for us about Efes.
Yeah, crazy situation.
Yeah, so I think he's going to be great in Anadolu Efes roster because he's a very tall guard. What Anadolu Efes needs is the threes and fours to be more effective in the game. So I think what is going to happen, what we're going to see, I think he will play also the three. So what Efes needs is a tall guard. Is a guard can do a defense on the fourth quarter, because we've seen Darius Thompson, Shane Larkin, they're without, like, sometimes they don't have enough energy to guard, to make the defense. So I think PJ Dozier is going to be a great additional piece for Anadolu Efes for that side as well. So he's a tall guard. He can put the energy on the court. He can guard some very very important players to guard, as we've seen from Nando De Colo. Like, he is going to limit the opponent's shooting percentage, I think.
Should we stick with Efes just one more second and have a look at the
Luka Banky,
at the coach's situation? Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, that's actually crazy. Tomislav Mijatović stepping back into second row again, and now Luka Banky right there. He had a furious start with Bologna, but I always feel like it's very crucial for a coach to be performing especially well in January. When everyone has seen your systems, your tactics for once, you really have to switch it up to keep up the high pace. What do you guys think about this switch that Efes made there?
Shall I go on again? Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm
of course,
go first.
You have to go first.
No, what I want to say first, Tomislav Mijatović is one of the best coaches of EuroLeague, as he has the best personality. I cannot explain how we as Turkish media love him. We love him so much. Like, as a big brother, he's great. His communication skills is the best. I'm so happy that he did not leave Anadolu Efes and he's still there. And what we've seen from Luka Banki, and
it's
of course
15 big, years big, or something, yeah.
15 years, and his whole life is in Istanbul. But we're welcoming Luka Banki to Istanbul. It's going to be a great year for him. And what we've seen from Asvel game, because by the way, I want to say something. He did only one practice with the team right before the Asvel game. So please, let's just give him some time and some you know, respect right now. We cannot evaluate and we cannot make very sharp comments about his performance and him being a coach of Efes right now. But he was always making connections. There was like a communication going on between Banki and Tomislav Mijatović girls. Did you realize that on the game? They were looking at each other. Like, Luka Banki was looking at him, Tomislav, and then I think they were talking. Of course, I don't know what was going on, but he was also getting some feedbacks, some help from Tomislav. And of course, he's so new. Like, he cannot decide every single thing. Before coming to Efes, I think he watched the games, but it was great seeing him communicating with Tomislav. So for me, it's going to be always two coaches of Anadolu Efes this season. It's going to be Tomislav and it's going to be Luka Banki until the end of the season. So with all my respects to Luka Banki, Tomislav is still the coach for me for some parts of Anadolu Efes.
If I'm not mistaken, I think like during the summer, Tomislav Mijatović expressed his desire to get back in his assistant position and for Anadolu Efes to hire a new head coach. But the players were the ones that insisted that he remains as a head coach. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. It's correct.
Yeah. And that speaks a lot about how much he means for the team and for the players. So it's very unusual for a coach to lose his position and still remain in the team. I don't think I've never seen a coach stepping back into an assistant. Like, it briefly happened with Christos Sereles in Panathinaikos, but Panathinaikos was at a messy situation back then. So it was like, he knew he will be the head coach for a very short time and then he will be an assistant. But this is not something we usually see.
Yeah,
it's a very, very unique situation.
It's so rare to see a head coach putting his ego aside and say to the club, like, I know that results are good right now, but I cannot keep doing this. Please bring another head coach here. I'm going to be there. So, yeah, but I had a chance to speak with Tomislav a couple of times also here in Belgrade now this season after the game against Maccabi, which they lost like in a very bad way. And he was so calm and he was so patient with everything that he has to do with medias, you know, and everything. So, yes, maybe he probably feels more comfortable to be in another position, in another role, to have another connection with players. I think that's also a huge part for him. So it's very rare and unique, as Vasiliki said, and it's very good to see that in the EuroLeague. Can you imagine that in the NBA? I cannot.
Probably not.
I can imagine it's all about the money.
Yeah, so that's definitely special. And I really like, though, Alex, how you just said someone, you know, being in a good situation, asking to step back. But let's speak about another team that's in a great position right now, which is Zvezda. Four W's in a row.
It's my 5 minutes of the season. Let me enjoy.
Yeah, go ahead, girl. The stage is yours.
I don't know how it's going to last.
Let me enjoy it, Alex. I like
it.
Yeah, because they're gonna play against Fenerbahce.
Yeah, I was listening to you very carefully while you were speaking of Fenerbahce defense and things like those. So in that game against Crvena Zvezda, I think for Fenerbahce is gonna be like defense against defense, and that's what EuroLeague about. So yeah, I cannot wait to that game. But yes, four wins in a row, as Lisa said, and I don't know where to start, because in every of those four games, Zvezda actually played or had some very, very bad parts of the game.
So that's the most important thing. I also listened to Lisa when she was speaking about Bayern Munich. Like, they had like very good moments, very good parts of the team, very good roster at the end of the, at the end of the story. But, you know, every team, like, it looks to me like every team has to go throughout some, like, you know, some bad situations and to grow up from that and to have some games that they're leading like 10 points or 20 points and then they're losing it. And, you know, they need to learn from that. And Zvezda had like a couple of seasons like those, you know, trying to step up and to reach some very big wins against Real Madrid or Barcelona and then losing against Alba. Sorry, Lisa, but that's so hurtful to me. Yeah,
that's
But now I think this season is very different for Zvezda, speaking in those terms, like having an ups and downs, you know, that every EuroLeague team had this season. But like they're trying to have ups and downs, but not that big ups and not that big downs, you know. So that's mm-hmm. the most important, to try to stay focused on what is good and to try to learn something from bad situations from the game. And what is also important, we always tried to find the leader of the team, like every season. So last season, maybe it was Miloš Teodosić. Season before that, it was Luka Mitrović. We are trying we tried to make a leader from Shabazz Napier also, but that didn't just work out for Zvezda. And maybe this season is the most specific thing is that they don't really have the true leader. Like sometimes it's like Joel Bolomboy, sometimes it's Isaiah Cannon when he is putting that shots very important at the end of the games. Like, we got Dejan Davidovac making that 3-point shot against Barcelona. Zvezda played against Maccabi with no good performance of any playmaker in the team, like any point guard, you know. So I think everything was so different in every of those four games. But at the end, the most important thing was the preparation of the game and the reaction during the game. So I don't know, we got many examples of that, actually. Like, starting, Paris started a game with 9-0 series at the beginning of the game here in Belgrade. And at the halftime, we got that crazy 3-point shot from Cody Miller-McIntyre and then layup from Dejan Davidovac, two players that just can step up and bring their performance on the court and then, like, go benched, you know? And against Barcelona, it was a kind of a sweet revenge maybe for Zvezda, also for everything that happened in Belgrade in the first part of the season. I don't know, Baskonia also was a very, very important game in Vitoria. They performed very bad at the beginning and then very good in that third and the fourth quarter. And I will feel free to say that in that third and fourth quarter in Vitoria, Zvezda looked like a Final Four team for me. And I think that's going to be our new topic for this.
Are you serious?
And actually, let's go right there, girls. But we have to be really quick. Alex, you're saying Zvezda's going to be in the Final Four. Who are the other three teams that you're seeing up there?
I know that quick you're and always dirty. Counting. I know that you're always counting on me as a basketball expert, as you said in an announcement of this episode. But this time I'm gonna choose Zvezda as a fan, like no big reason for that. But
the other three teams.
The other three teams, I will choose Olympiacos, Pana, and Monaco.
Monaco, okay. Yeah. I would say definitely both great teams. I will add Paris, even though they have been, you know, on this crazy downward move right now. I really feel like they're gonna be the sensation, and the fourth team. That was really hard for me, to be honest, but I'm going to go with Fener. What about you girls?
I believe like both Greek teams will be there, as you girls said. Like, I think these are the two favorites right now with the way they're playing and with the rosters they have, actually. Like, they're really stacked, they're really full, and even with injuries, they managed to cover everything and still prevail and play real good basketball. At this moment, as Lisa said, it's really important to play good basketball in January and not lose your momentum or lose spots in the standings. So both Greek teams. I will also go with Monaco. Monaco with Spanoulis on the bench, with Mike James and Nick Lathis leading the team, like the brains and the scoring and all that. Mm-hmm. with Monaco. But for the first team, I was really like wondering, who can that be? I have two or three teams like on my mind. One is Fenerbahce. If they have another center coming and it's a good one, I think they have a big advantage.
Why you need a center? Why you need a center? No,
I told
leave
you,
it.
Because,
leave it.
Because,
leave it.
Because I think that in a series of playoffs game, you're going to need another big guy if you're
of
playing
course,
against.
We know. Besides joking, we do have, but we're good even right now. We're getting better.
Yeah,
you're seeing Fenner as one of the potential teams, so.
I appreciate it. No, I'm just saying in my mind that, you know, we should give also more minutes and credit to Sertaç Şanlı. There is this Turkish guy that he's doing the maximum. So, and he needs more like confidence on the court. I think he's going to do great, as he was the MVP of last games, MVP against Alba Berlin. So I think we'll see, but we're going to get a center. Don't worry about it. But
the other option for me, if it's not Fener, it's Anadolu Efes. And I have said that since September, and people were laughing at me when I said that. I said that in a table with other journalists and some members of the Greek teams, some high heads, and they really said, like, what? You see Anadolu Efes going to the Final Four? And I said, yes, I don't know why, but I believe so much in this team this year. So I will give the fourth spot to one of the Turkish teams. So Deniz will like me back
again.
All right.
Again.
All right. Yeah, I always like you. I always like you. I like to,
I know, girl.
I like, because in Turkey, everybody's single. Fenerbahçe needs a big guy, you know, number five. And we're just like overdosed. And I'm like, okay, come on, you know. That's why it wasn't my reaction to you. It was a reaction to the whole universe. But adding something to that part of, about Anadolu Efes, I agree with you, but I think one thing should change also. We should give more minutes to Stanley Johnson. That's first. We cannot make him start in the starting five and just not let him play on the last quarter. We need that. And then second thing, I think Elijah Bryant should play less individual and more as effective on assist and you know, share the ball more effectively. That's what I feel like
girl,
about Anadolu Efes.
We need hot your takes. Final Four prediction right now.
Okay, I'll go. Olympiakos, Panathinaikos, Monaco, Fenerbahce, Beko.
All right, then.
That was pretty quick.
That was really quick. So I'm the only one who's not with you on Monaco. Interesting.
No, of course. Monaco for sure. Easy.
Easy. All right. So we'll have to discuss, like reopen this discussion in a couple of months. Really, really interesting to like see if we're or how far we were off. But girls, let's look into, you know, the closer future, which is round 22 that's coming up. We have some really exciting games. Obviously, Real against Olympiakos. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen there. And then, Alex, we're going to have a really cool game, Zvezda against Monaco. I know that you're a fan of Spanoulis, so you're probably happy to meet him there. Barcelona against Efes, Deniz. You have a take there?
Yes. I will. It's going to be something special to watch Anadolu Efes in Paris against Shane Larkin, against TJ Shorts. Hifi against his idol, Shane Larkin. So it's going to be a great show. We can call it great show.
Yeah, then great show. Let's see if Bayern will find back to their strengths against Bologna, and then Baskonia against Panathinaikos. Some really amazing matchups, and I'm sure that we're going to have an even better episode right after. So, and this is us wrapping up this episode. Thank you so much, girls, for all your energy, your vibes, your opinions. This was really cool. That's it for now, though. Don't forget, everyone out there who has been watching, first of all, thank you for bearing with us. But don't forget, the rivalry game of the week in round 22 is the Real Olympiakos one. Make sure to watch this showdown or all of the other 8 matches for sure on EuroLeague TV. We're happy to have you there. And don't forget to like, subscribe, or comment under our conversation. We always want to include you. Of course, we're doing this for you. Also, make sure to follow EuroLeague across all social media platforms to stay in touch. And yeah, we're happy that you're with us and see you very soon.
Bye, girls.
Bye.
Thank
bye.
You.
Thank you.